Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY25 earnings conference call of Adani Enterprises, hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vishal Periwal from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Periwal.
Yeah, thanks, Michelle. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the post-result earnings call of Adani Enterprises Limited. Management team from Adani Enterprises is led by Mr. Robbie Singh, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Manan Vakharia, who is heading Investor Relations. We'll have opening remarks from the company, and then we'll have lines open for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and thank you for being here on a public holiday. So, good evening, everyone. We welcome you to Adani Enterprises results call for financial year 25 ending March 31st. As you would be well aware, Adani Enterprises is a flagship company of Adani Group, one of India's largest business incubators. And over the years, Adani Enterprises has focused on building utility and infrastructure assets, logistics, and our core metals, mining, and material businesses, largely focused on addressing the logistics and energy transition and productivity challenges of India. FY25 results have validated AEL's incubation model of growing emerging core infra businesses, its focus on timely completion of projects and capacity building of existing projects. AEL's strong execution capabilities have been validated by improved credit ratings, with both CARE and ICRA now rating AEL at AA-. This consistent growth has boosted overall consolidated results for financial year 25 as follows: income up by 2% to 1,365 crore, EBITDA up by 26% to 16,722 crore, and PBT up by 16% to 6,533 crore. In addition to this PBT number, AEL has a realized gain of 3,946 crore on account of 13.5% stake sale of Adani Wilmar. The emerging core infra businesses have demonstrated growth momentum and delivered their highest-ever results. In just the last 2 years, incubating business results have shown an income which now equals the AEL's total income for financial year 23. Incomes up of the incubating portfolio, 42% to 34,546 crore, EBITDA up 68% to 10,025 crore, which is higher than AEL's consolidated EBITDA as reported in financial year 23, PBT up 87% to 4,996 crore, roughly 5,000 crore, which is higher than FY23 overall PBT of AEL, for example. In our businesses that span the specific categories of green hydrogen ecosystem, there the EBITDA increased by 108% to 4,776. In the airport business, EBITDA grew by 43% to 3,480, and it's on a run rate of about 1,000 crore per quarter. In the solar business, the expansion of another 6 GW cell module line has started. In the wind turbine business, capacity has been expanded to 2.25 GW from 1.5 GW. Overall commitments in relation to ESG, I'm pleased to inform you that the CDP has upgraded AEL rating to A- for year 2024, which is a leadership category, indicating AEL's dedication and commitment to lowering GHG emissions and their overall impact. A quick update on our mining services business, which is made up of 13 service contracts, 11 in coal and 2 in iron ore. We have 5 operational in coal and 1 operational in iron ore. The dispatch volume of the services business is 43.3 million metric ton, an increase of 40%. Revenue is up 60% to 3,787. EBITDA is up 100% to 1,688. The integrated resource management business volume was at 56.5 million metric ton, which gives it an EBITDA of 3,585 crore. Commercial mining, Carmichael Mine is now operating close to its rated capacity of 15 million metric ton. I will now open for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. My first question is, you accounted for Adani Wilmar's sale in this quarter, right? Is there any impact on the tax because of this sale?
Yeah, that's the increase in the sale proceeds. Yes, there will be tax increase, and tax will be calculated on this on that gain. Roughly about 650. Odd crore, but because we report the numbers net of one-off items anyway, so there's no impact in the numbers I laid out.
Okay, understood. Depending on this on the solar cell and module line and wafer, are we expecting ourselves to 6 gigawatt cell and module? Are we not expanding into wafer? And what is the timeline for this expansion?
Cell and modules line should be ready in the next roughly around financial year 26 end to 27.
And any plan to expand the wafer by another 8 gigawatt?
No, that doesn't work in that manner, but the entire ecosystem as we had laid out about 3 years ago will be a 10 gigawatt ecosystem. Once fully completed.
Understood. Given the fact that there is so much uncertainty on the solar export, do you think that the capacity to sell in the F26, especially solar, will move to the domestic industry?
No, it's just we have proper contracts with key partners, so those sales are highly visible to us. There's no uncertainty from that front.
Last question on the coal mining services. I think we have done a fabulous job. We have gone from, I think, 50% up to 47 million tons. How do you see F26 and F27 on this base, large base?
From a mining services point of view, largely speaking, that is the owner and the user of the product determines the lot. But in terms of the rated number, we expect that we will be closer to 60 over the next 18 months based on the current demand patterns of the owners and users.
Understood. Thank you and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may please press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Nirav Shah from GC Holdings. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congrats on great numbers and thanks for the opportunity. So the question is, on the copper smelter front, now that we have commissioned the smelter also, if you can just guide us in terms of how the ramp-up will take place in the first half, second half? And any challenges in the sourcing front of the ore are we facing right now because of lower supply of the ore globally? And from when will we start reporting the segmental results separately? That's the first question.
Segmental result, most likely to just answer your last part, we expect to be able to report segmental results in this probably around quarter four. Because even though it might not be sufficiently important overall, but I think it's an important milestone for us before our metals business, so we will report. It will not be material to AEL, but we will. That it's important that we have a formal commencement of our metals business in terms of metals, materials, and mining. With the ramp up, consequently, just working backwards, so we expect the ramp up to over the next say 180 days. And then somewhere around quarter three, we expect it to hit the full run rate. Ore is not specifically an issue for us.
That's not an issue. But the TCRCs, the lower TCRCs right now will impact something, I mean, from what we had estimated earlier on the profitability front.
We've done the numbers, our numbers were already hugely conservative in terms of how we were expecting this, EBITDA and free cash flow. So it's within that range.
Got it. So the second question is on the airports front. I mean, if we can give a broad breakup of EBITDA between Mumbai and non-Mumbai, and for the full year, how much has the airport AAHL Holdco done in terms of EBITDA, and how do we see the profitability over there? Because that is where we are trying to do a lot within the platform itself. So if you can just elaborate on this, please.
Yeah. See, in relation to the specifically out of the EBITDA of about 4,000 odd crores, about 45% is MIAL, which is Mumbai Airport.
Okay.
And rest is our total ecosystem of other areas which sit under AAHL. And the last quarter the run rate was a little bit higher than 4,000, but we are not guiding anything. What we are also planning to do is that because it's now a significantly large part of AEL, meaning it will be closer to the 4,500 crore EBITDA in the coming quarters. In the half year result, we will include as part of our normal investor call a formal presentation by the formal commentary by the leadership team of airports alongside myself, and that you will get a lot more clarity because we start reporting it in a much much more granular detail from September 30th.
And on airport, I mean, any of the six PPP airports still not achieving EBITDA break-even, or not all the airports have achieved EBITDA break-even?
No, all EBITDA break-even now.
Great. This is the last question on the revenue and profitability number of wind turbines for this fourth quarter.
Wind turbine breakdown in terms of the EBITDA of wind turbines itself is around, for the quarter itself, is 274 crores.
And so the revenue?
Revenue is 1,200 round figure. Precisely 1,188.
Got it. So great. I have more questions. I'll be back in the queue. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. You may please press star and one to ask questions at this time. The next question is from the line of Prateek Kumar from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening and congrats for great results. First question is on your working capital, which has been very elevated in the year-end results. So also resulting into overall increase in debt position for the year-end number. Any specific reason there? And also interest expense has remained elevated. Last quarter, you said interest expense had run off related to like Forex depreciation, which was hurting expense then, but it has like largely remained elevated in this quarter also, which has also impacted your PBT this quarter.
Yeah, see, look, that there's a basic level of FX volatility that exists because some of our reporting, some of our businesses are in US dollars and we report that back into rupees. But that is, a lot of that is our internal investment only. So consequently, it has very little cash flow impact. It has just a P&L impact. That's number one. The number two is that as copper plant is ramping up, therefore there's an inventory buildup. It is nothing alarming from that point of view. It will get washed out as the ramp up occurs over the next 180 days. And if you see the elevated level of debt, it's relatively of the 18,000 odd crore, which you see external debt, roughly 70% of that is just airports and roads, and about another 20% is copper itself. So it's been fully accounted for, all the capitals fully accounted for, operational result of airports, Ganga Expressway, and copper will come in the next year. So we report that way rather than capital works in progress, because it's just a more conservative way to give you a position that we have in relation to our emerging business. Very little of this debt is in specifically in the current under construction projects, which is recorded. We have booked the debt for the PVC business, about 10 odd percent.
Okay, so the working capital
is in copper. You can see working capital in copper. You can see that on page 29 of the investor presentation. There's a detailed sheet, and then you can go to page 30 where you can see precisely the segment-wise detail of both working capital and of the long-term debt. And you will see in that the rise, the elevated number is about 50% rise in the working capital of copper from about 1,000 to 1,500. Otherwise, overall, compared to last year, the working capital debt is less this year than last year, as is the 31st of March, 24.
Sure, okay. And on PVC business, what is the capex incurred till now? And you said the timeline for commissioning is FY28.
PVC business, can we take this question on notice, because we can revert back in writing to you, please?
Sure, okay. And overall, you've incurred like around 29,000 crore capex this year. What is the capex guidance for FY26 and segmental expectation there?
So we've completed capex of around actually just over 31,500 this year, and we are on track in the following year of roughly around just over 36,000.
Okay, and just a bookkeeping question of guidance on IRM, MDO and commercial mining business in terms of volumes. I think you said for mining already, but for all three segments in terms of volumes?
No, for MDO, we expect the user demand will push it, but we basic indication is that it's likely to be around 60 million tons. And IRM, we don't expect the volumes to alter much. So flat.
And Australian mine business?
Mine already operating at rated capacity of roughly 15 million tons.
Okay, so flats are there as well, like in the net basis.
It is operating at its capacity.
Sure, thank you, sir. I'll get back to the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may please press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Mahesh Patil from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So my first question is on the wind manufacturing. How much is the capacity right now, and what are the volumes that we are expecting in the near term?
Hello? capacity is now 2.25 gigawatt per annum, and we would expect to produce roughly 450 odd sets in a combination of 5.5 and 3.3 capacity megawatt.
450 sets over this year.
For the year.
3 years. Okay. And so given the recent draft notification on the increasing the domestic content in the wind manufacturing, are you also planning, what is the status on that? I mean, are we importing some components, and are we planning to increase the domestic content for the four mentioned components?
No, I think we have sufficient domestic capacity that in terms of that notification. If your question is that is it a domestic qualifying domestic product, then answer is yes, because it's 5.5. There is no other manufacturer of 5.5 megawatt in the world, onshore wind turbine.
Okay, so you are procuring the four side components from the domestic market, right?
No, we our system plus are the ecosystem that we need to get the parts and the materials. Increasingly, it will become a domestic ecosystem.
Okay, sir. And sir, second question is on the capex. If you can provide the you mentioned around 36 crore of capex, right? And 31.5 crore. In this fiscal, if I can say. If you can give some color on the major breakup of this.
The major breakup is that on the core areas, on green hydrogen ecosystem, roughly 5,500, airports roughly 10,500, and roads roughly 6,200. So majority of the capex will occur in these three categories, and then we expect the continuing work on PVC to add another about 9,000 to the capex. So these are the four major categories.
Sorry, you mentioned 9,000?
Yeah.
Okay. And so the third question is on the airport side. Any idea about the tariff order for Mumbai? How much is the increase in tariff here?
We expect by June this year.
By June, we are expecting. Okay. And sir, the status of the Navi Mumbai tariff petition?
That's fine. So that will take its time, but we can operate under provisional tariff. So it's not necessary to have the final orders at operational start date.
Okay. And sir, for this Navi Mumbai airport, may I know the total capitalized cost?
Total?
Capitalized cost.
We will provide that number post 30th June.
Okay, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you. I have the more questions. I'll get back.
Thank you. Participants, please press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Prateek Kumar from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. My question is on airport business. So, firstly, there's like small decline in airport business versus, I know it's not material, but anything specific on a sequential basis, because volumes have been like largely flat, packs handled, but there is a sequential decline of around 13% in EBITDA in airport business. Any specific reason there?
That is largely driven by the fact that the way the business is structured, there's a significant element of the business is non-aero, and non-aero within the Indian market context will be higher in the last quarter of the calendar year due to various festivals, marriage seasons, etc. So you just had a higher non-aero business during that quarter, which reverts to normal for rest of the year. That's all it is. That's why we will report actually detailed segmental analysis of airports from 30 September onwards with the airport team presenting, because you see this type of seasonality that will occur because of the contribution of non-aero the way we are set up our airports business.
Secondly, on airport business again, there was this consultation paper on Mumbai which said that the old airport will be demolished, the part of one terminal will be demolished, and it will have like the traffic will be lower from currently 55 million to 40 million odd like next year, and then most of it will shift to new airport. How are we looking at like this overall project of Mumbai Airport Terminal 1 and the shift of traffic thereafter between the two airports?
None of that, Prateek, matters, because it's a sequential program. You are earning a rate of return on the assets deployed, and Terminal 1 will be redone to the new standard. So this is a fairly common occurrence in a regulatory asset base. It makes absolutely no difference to the total revenue profile and growth of the business. It only becomes a timing difference.
Yeah, but just for understanding, what are the timing of that Terminal 1 demolition? Is it like expecting FY26 or FY27?
No. Once we announce the proper transition to Navi Mumbai and the operational stabilization of Navi Mumbai and the airlines, and in consultation with the airlines, then we will determine what's the best timing for that. But it will we want to upgrade Terminal 1. But it won't be rushed. It won't be near term.
Okay, it is in near term. So basically, when Terminal 1 of Navi Mumbai is like properly operational, post that that event might happen.
We haven't decided the exact start date, but yes, we need to first stabilize Navi Mumbai Airport so that the airlines are comfortable operating there. And once we are ourselves confident on the operational stability of both airports or two airport system, then only we will decide.
I'm asking this question another way. Basically, the question was more like from FY27, let's say, or maybe FY26, like, because now we are almost closer to commissioning. The overall traffic, which has been like sort of in mid-50s kind of range for past 2 years for Mumbai, what is the total traffic you expect for FY27 when both airports are commissioned?
No, we are not providing that guidance. We just think that. The capacity structure and the latent demand in Mumbai far exceeds the demand in any other part for a single city in India. So consequently, the latency of the demand is much, much, much higher than the current traffic numbers of passengers, and possibly in three-digit millions, so 100 million plus. Now, with the ramp-up schedules, how it works, when the airlines can start, what are the amendment rights for various airlines, who can commence, how they can commence, that is over a period of time. Nevertheless, the catchment area demand is the highest of any city in India.
Thank you, sir. That was very useful.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may please press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity once again. So, one clarification on the when are we going to start phase two, and if we have the clarity, what will be the capacity of the phase two in terms of packs?
That's a Navi Mumbai. We expect to start phase two immediately post stabilization of phase one, because all preparations are already done. Consequently, as soon as we stabilize the operations in phase one, the phase two will start in Navi Mumbai, and that would take the capacity from 20 million to 60 million passengers.
Understood. Thank you, and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
So just thank you very much to the investors, and thank you very much for T&T for organizing the call.
Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of Adani Enterprises, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.